Hello, this is Raven Sinclair, and I'm excited to introduce Anya McAndrew today. She is a seasoned psychotherapist, an ordained high priestess, and teacher. She facilitates the Shamanic Priestess Process and the Magdalene Mysteries. Anya is also a master shamanic astrologer and a shamanic breathwork practitioner. She's been interviewed and written articles extensively, and those can be found on her website at goddessontheloose.com. Anya has over 39 years of experience in the sacred work of emotional and spiritual healing. Welcome, Anya.
Thank you, Raven.
Great to have you. And for those who are listening who don't know, Anya is my dear friend, sister, and mentor for the Shamanic Priestess Circle that I facilitate and that we facilitate together. And there are so many subjects that we could go into, Anya, but to pick just one, I'm continually amazed at all the ways that shamanic astrology in particular gives such deep insight into people's lives. So I'd love to discuss that today. Can you tell us, before we get into that, how you came to discover shamanic astrology?
Well, I was living on Maui, which was a long time ago, 30 years ago, and Daniel Giammario, who is the founder and creator of shamanic astrology, came to Maui. And I saw him speak at a luncheon, and I was amazed. I mean, he really spoke to my soul. And then I ended up having a reading with him. And although I'd had lots of other astrology readings through the years, I was in my mid-30s at the time, there was something about shamanic astrology that really spoke to me, and it really felt like Daniel got me in a way that I have never been gotten. So that made the big difference to me. And then I began to sponsor Daniel. He did not have a school at that time, which is the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School, SAMS is what it's called. And I'll just reference his website. It's shamanicastrology.com. So eventually Daniel created a school, and I was probably one of the first ones to sign up. I'm a psychotherapist, so before that, I would refer my clients to him. They would have readings, and then I would listen to their chart readings, and that's the way that I began to learn shamanic astrology before there was actually a school, and also by sponsoring Daniel wherever I lived. So when I left Maui, I moved to Atlanta, and I sponsored him there in Atlanta as well. So we've had a long relationship. He's my spiritual brother. I do sacred site tours with him every year to the Celtic lands, where last year Raven and I did a priestess process, shamanic priestess process, and next year we'll be doing a Scotland shamanic priestess process. So I'm really excited about that, Raven.
Yeah, very excited about that. So, and we will tell more about that at the end, how to find out more about that. Can you explain what exactly shamanic astrology is, or the difference between shamanic astrology and sun sign astrology?
Yes, I will. So the way that I personally look at astrology, I know you've had your friend Bill on your interview programs. Bill talks about the crop circles as crop formations, and I see our personal charts as our own personal crop formations, you could say. They're the patterning in the sky at the time of our birth, and we refer to it, as we do in the priestess process, and as above, so below, as within, so without mystery. So we see it as a literal kinesthetic organic reality that the patterns of the stars and the planets are the same patterns and cycles of the human psyche. So our particular time of birth is reflected in this, you could say, sacred geometric pattern. You could think of it as a crop formation that is particularly, especially ours, and reflects our own psyche. So that's the way I see the astrological chart. And the difference between shamanic astrology and you could say other forms of astrology, although some of them are similar, is that we focus on the moon rather than the sun. Sun sign astrology has actually been created as a way to sell a newspaper column, you could say, to popularize astrology. But we see the moon as the place that we have come from, our lineage, you could say. So that's different than sun sign astrology. People walk around and they talk about, you know, I'm a Scorpio or I'm Sag or I'm a Gemini. We don't particularly focus on the sun. The sun is our life force energy, but we are most like our moons.
Mm.
We also look at the outer transits of the planets, you could say a Saturn cycle or a Pluto cycle or a Uranus cycle, as initiations. So we have a shamanic perspective on the cycles of our lives. And I can say lots and lots more, but those are kind of the basics.
Okay. Beautiful way to look at our own personal crop formation. I had never heard that sort of analogy, and that's a great way to look at that. What are some of the aspects that shamanic astrology addresses that maybe other schools of thought do not?
Well, we look at, for instance, if we go back to the lineage, we look at the moon as the lineage. So, for instance, in a woman's chart, we see the moon as the old goddess that she's been for lifetimes, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
She's been doing, if she's a Scorpio moon, she's been doing that Scorpio moon for lifetimes. It's a theme for her. And chances are that she's moving into a new theme in the present life. So we see Venus as the new goddess. So she's stepping into her Venus energies as the new feminine that she's learning to be in this lifetime. We also look at Mars as her inner masculine. And so we have an archetypal way of looking at the signs, and we have an archetypal way of looking at the planets. So we look at certain planets as, you could say, subpersonalities, as psychological aspects of us, like the moon, Venus, Mars, Mercury, and the sun. And then we see the outer planets as creating complexes, like initiation, or like psychological complexes, and initiations when they're transiting. So that may or may not make sense to people who don't have the basics around astrology, but you can think of it in terms of we see the natal chart, the basic chart that you're born with, as your original intent for this lifetime.
Mm.
We can see where you've come from. We can see what the tools are of the present lifetime, or you could say the script. And then we see the evolutionary or future aspects of the chart as the mystery school that we're stepping into, as the timeline of the life, so past and future. There's a future timeline, there's a past timeline, and we see that there are worlds, the underworld, the middle world, or 3D reality, and the celestial world, initiations that we work with when we're looking at what the stars are doing now in relationship, and you could say in sacred geometric relationship with our charts.
Anya, if someone has an appointment with you, a session with you, and you do these over the phone, I know because I've had so many of them, I have an update every year and can listen to the recordings over and over. But if you see someone that has a Pluto cycle coming up or a couple of Pluto cycles and different things coming up, what might that tell you about what they're going to experience in the next year?
So first of all, shamanic astrology is never predictive. In other words, we're not going to tell you what's going to happen. But what we can tell you is what time it is in your life. In other words, what initiations you're experiencing and what the intent of those particular initiations are. So you asked about Pluto, and Pluto's, you know, it's challenging. It's a challenging initiation. Pluto is considered in shamanic astrology an underworld planet. So if you think about the three shamanic worlds, underworld, middle world, and upper world or celestial world, Pluto would be an underworld planet. And the underworld is where deep, powerful transformation happens. So if you are in the process of being in a Pluto transit, a Pluto initiation, we might tell you about that as a way to help you to understand that things don't work the same way in a Pluto initiation. If you're in the underworld, you're in a place of deep transformation. And in a time of deep transformation, you don't necessarily want to put your focus on starting a new business or even, depending on the kind of transit, in other words, what that particular planet is aspecting in your chart. Let's say it's a woman's chart and it's aspecting her Mars. She wouldn't necessarily want to get into a new relationship. And if she was already in a relationship, she would want to understand that because her own masculine is in the underworld being in a process of deep transformation, that her outer relationships may also be challenging in certain ways. So if we know what time it is in our lives, then we can make adjustments. You could say we could compensate for that in some ways. We can lay low for a while. We can do the inner work that is called for in a Pluto cycle, in a time of deep inner transformation.
Mm-hmm. It really, it seems like to me, I mean, just from my own chart and when I have readings, that it takes me out of being a victim of my chart or of
yes.
the planet into a place of power.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It gives you an opportunity to be at choice rather than to be at the effect of something, even though there are going to be times during particular transits that you're going to feel at effect. And we don't want to have to go through our lives feeling that we're having to overcome something all the time. We want to be able to flow and ride with the cycles of our lives. In other words, the seasons of our lives, the timing of our lives. So when it's winter, we're not necessarily feeling like going out and jogging in the snow, perhaps. Maybe it's better to do some slow, easy yoga and light a fire.
Beautifully put. Can you, Anya, explain the archetypes and how we can learn from them?
Yes, absolutely. Archetypes are amazing. Archetypes are the gods, the goddesses, the spirits and animal essences. They show up across cultures, and they show up in systems like the Tarot, is a system of 22 archetypes. Carl Jung and Jungian psychology was instrumental in introducing archetypes to Westerners because he traveled around the globe and worked with indigenous cultures. Jean Shinoda Bolen, for instance, talks about the goddess archetypes and the god archetypes. And these archetypes, I see them as mediating energies between our human self and our divine self. So we look at each one of the 12 signs and we translate them into the archetypes that are very much connected to them. So for instance, and I'm just going to reference a woman's chart because I mostly work with women. If you, let's say, have a Sagittarius moon. It means that you have been what we would call the Vision Quest Amazon, the Vision Quest heroine, who's been on the search for adventure, for truth, for meaning, and for knowledge in past lives or as your lineage. If you've been a Virgo moon, which I am, a Virgo moon is archetypally the priestess, the one who's connected to sacred work and who loves ceremony and sees the patternings of things and has a sense of how to weave patterns together. So those are a couple of examples. You can just throw something at me if you want, and I can work with that if you want a little more.
Something that's kind of interesting is when women, and this happens fairly often, I've seen from my own circles, when women have the same moon, their moon and their, either their moon and their Venus are in the same sign or their moon and their rising sign is in the same sign. So what would that mean for someone?
Because the moon is the lineage, we have more of a tendency to revert to our moons when things get stressful. So you could say that we have more of a tendency to act out the shadow of the moon rather than the higher evolutionary aspects of the moon. So if someone has the same moon and Venus, then what they're looking to do is go to the next octave, the next evolutionary octave of that particular archetype. So, for instance, let's go back to the Sagittarius moon, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So a woman who has a Sag moon may not be very committed or connected to, let's say, projects in her life. She might start things and then take off. She might get involved in relationships and then leave. She might always be ready to run out the door for the next new adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Or she might be more focused on adventure than she is the truth. But if she has a Venus in Sag or a Sag rising, her intention for this lifetime is to move into the next highest octave of Sagittarius, which would be really seeking the highest spiritual truth in mm-hmm. her life and expressing that rather than maybe some of the shadow tendencies of Sagittarius.
Wow.
So
okay.
There's a different emphasis. It's the highest, it's the higher version of the sign. So the difference between the moon and the Venus in general would be that as well. It would be it would be leaving behind the old patterns or the shadow aspects of that particular moon and moving to the more evolutionary, you could say, aspects of the Venus or the rising sign.
Okay, thank you. Can you also talk about the phase of the moon that we were born in and our corresponding power days?
Yes, that's wonderful knowledge that I want to give credit to Kaylin Castell for bringing back into consciousness. I knew about astrological fertility when I was in my 20s and 30s. I'd been introduced to it.
Mm-hmm.
And astrological fertility has to do with the exact angle between the sun and the moon that repeats itself every month. So because the moon moves through all the signs in one month, it means that it comes back to the same place every single month, just like the sun comes back to the same place every year, and we call that a birthday. It's actually our solar return. This is a lunar return, and it happens every single month for each of us. And it is determined by the angle between the sun and the moon. So when the sun and the moon are in opposite sides of the sky, it's a full moon. When they're together, it's a new moon. And then there are several phases in between. So there's eight different phases that most people honor in that 28-29-day cycle. And every one of us has a lunar return or a lunar birthday. And that lunar birthday, the ancients knew, was a time of fertility. It was a time when women could get pregnant, even if they weren't biologically ovulating. They had powerful sex. They might actually access an egg that could be fertilized at that time. And this has made sense to a lot of the women that I've worked with, because they've said, aha, I actually did get pregnant at a time that where I wasn't ovulating. And they've actually looked it up and found that, indeed, they had gotten pregnant during their astrological fertility day or their power day. And if we're not wanting to get pregnant, of course, we can use that. We can stay away from anything that would get us pregnant. But we can also use it for extra potency and fertility in other areas of our life.
Mm. I've worked with my power days and had amazing results. And I had a priestess that, this was last year, she was going to ask for a raise, but she was really dreading it because a lot of people had been laid off at her job. She had taken over, she was really doing three people's jobs because they had to, you know, lay people off. And so she really thought, if I go in and ask for a raise, I'm either not going to get it or they're going to just tell me to leave. And so I told her to make sure she did it on one of her power days. And she not only got a raise, but she got more than she asked for.
Wow.
So this really, it really
does
work.
That's a great story.
Yeah, yeah. And you know her. I'll tell you more about her later. But yeah, it really does work. And it's pretty amazing. And when people do have a reading with you, you send them, email them a list of their power days for the next year. Is that right?
Yes. That's part of the reading. Yeah, because I want people to work with them. I think it really is a powerful tool for us to create magic in our lives.
Mm. This is such a little snapshot of shamanic astrology, but I know it's given people a lot of good information. And if they want to schedule an appointment with you to learn more, how would they do that, Anya?
Well, you can go to my website, www.goddessontheloose.com. And there's a section on my website on the left that says Anya on Shamanic Astrology. And you can read about my offerings. You can read an interview with me on Shamanic Astrology, also an article by Daniel. And you can learn more about what a reading is and what it includes. It's usually about an hour and a half. And I record it for you and send it to you as an MP3.
Wonderful. I encourage everybody listening to do this. Anya is in demand, and you may have to schedule out a little bit, but it will change your life. I was actually reading, you know, I'm a fan of Dr. Christiane Northrup, and she was talking about shamanic astrology and said that it had transformed her life in amazing ways. And so it really,
She's a friend of Daniel's. Daniel has read for many, many well-known people, well-known spiritual teachers, and has a large community around the world.
Mm. It's amazing, and I do encourage everyone to do that. And before we end today, Anya, I want to first acknowledge the Shamanic Priestess Circle in Scotland that you and I are co-facilitating next September. So for more information, people can visit goddessontheloose.com again or my website, ravensinclair.com. And before we end today, I also want to take a minute to talk about a new program or a new process for women having an experience with cancer that you are doing. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. I'm really excited about it. I'm co-creating this with a priestess by the name of Amrita Grace. And it is called Dancing with Cancer, the Sacred Feminine Path to Wholeness. Mm-hmm. And it really invites us to embrace and embody our own internal authority and wisdom around making really empowered choices, no matter where you are in your cancer journey. So if you live in the fear of it, if you have had a cancer diagnosis in the past, if you're living with cancer now, it's a mystery school. And it's also a healing retreat. And it's designed for women to basically calm their fears, but also really nourish and soothe our souls and enliven our bodies. So it's really holistic. We're working with this emotional, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual level. And it's also focused on the Wheel of the Year and the Sacred Feminine. So we'll be incorporating ceremony and dance and deep sharing, and we'll be stepping into our first retreat May 6th through the 13th. They're week-long retreats. We'll be doing them about three times a year here at my community at Isis Cove in Whittier near Cherokee, North Carolina. Yeah. And we're really excited about it, and we're stepping into it right before Mother's Day weekend. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing our opening ceremony, one of our opening ceremonies on Mother's Day, because we feel it's so, the cancer for women is so much about nurturing ourselves or not nurturing ourselves. And we'll also be celebrating the Wheel of the Year station, which is Beltane, which is about embodiment, pleasure, and sacred marriage.
Oh, beautiful. Anya, I'm so excited that you're doing this. It's so needed to shift people out of the fear that our culture in Western medicine really puts around the word cancer. So this is beautiful and exciting, and I know it's going to be a huge success.
I just want to give the website to Raven. It's dancingwithcancer.org.
Okay.
Yes, and I'll also have a link on my website, goddessontheloose.com. So thank you for asking about that. We're really excited about this offering, and we really feel that it's going to make a difference for women, bringing together this whole concept of a sacred feminine path to wholeness.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to clarify, Anya, that I believe you said that this is not only for women who have a cancer diagnosis.
Right, yes, someone who's living with a fear of cancer. Instead of, you know, going and cutting off your breath, you might consider coming and doing a retreat like this. You know, there's this whole, you know, this whole movement, especially around breast cancer, you know, that is just a little extreme.
Right.
So I'm really hoping that we can also tap into women who do have a fear of cancer, or who have kicked cancer and might still have a fear of it.
Mm, beautiful, wonderful. I'm really excited about that. Anya, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Raven. It was a pleasure.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.